Hey, movie lovers. I'm Maria.
And I'm Sam.
Welcome to Unsolicited Flick Picks.
Movie reviews no one asked for. Hey!
Okay, Sam, you gave me a pretty good birthday present this week. You guys, she gifted me the privilege of watching She's the Man, starring Amanda Bynes. This movie came out in 2006 when we were but 15 years old.
Prime age for girl power.
Totally. This movie got 44% on Tomato Meter from Rotten Tomatoes and 79% from the audience.
That's a big gap.
Yeah, the people liked it just as much as I did. And IMDb came in the middle of those two at 6.3. Little known fact, Sam, and I say it's little known because I claim that this is one of my favorite movies and I didn't know this.
Oh, wow.
But so maybe, did you know this?
I did.
The story and the characters are actually based on the Shakespeare story, Twelfth Night, and like loosely based on that story.
Right.
But it has all the same characters, like Lady Olivia, Viola, and her twin Sebastian, Duke Orsino. And the Shakespeare story is based in the kingdom of Illyria, which is the school that Viola goes to disguised as her brother Sebastian.
I did know this, but also it's in the opening credits. Like, I knew it because I just, like, had read it, but I was like, oh, yeah.
I guess I didn't read those.
You were too wrapped up in the opening sequence.
Yeah. All the bobby music. Actually, yeah. When I was watching it tonight, before we had the very first scene where they're on the jet skis, I was like trying to call it like what the scene would be. And I was like, they're playing beach volleyball. but I got it wrong. It was jet skis.
And beach soccer too.
Right. It was soccer.
Yeah. Because that's like, you know, big theme of the movies.
Soccer. Yeah, pretty big. ding, ding, ding. Women's soccer team in Canada won the gold medal today at the Olympics.
Oh, that's convenient. That's coincidental. I don't care at all about the Olympics. Sorry.
That's okay. You don't have to be sorry to me. Just all those Olympians that bring their whole life for this moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're cool and stuff.
Okay, do you know how much they get paid?
Oh, God. It's winning. Either extra. Oh, isn't it like $40,000?
Yeah.
Dollars?
Yeah, it's like not that much.
That's not a lot at all.
And that's for gold.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think if it's like silver's less than that and bronze is maybe like $25,000. So like literally the poverty line.
Yeah. Wow.
All
right, let's get into the plot.
Yes, let's.
Tell me about this movie.
Well, I think we can do this fairly quickly, although it does have almost as many love triangles and like relationships as He's Just Not That Into You, which we just watched. So I'm wondering if maybe
I will do another flow chart for this one.
Yeah, it's more of like a circle.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's like a love square.
Love square. So we open up on a beach soccer game, and it's clear that Viola is a soccer star. So Viola is played by Amanda Bynes, who I find to be very, very funny.
Oh, we're going to talk so much about her later on.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I love her.
So Viola's playing soccer and she plays for Cornwall. And all of a sudden the girls team at Cornwall gets cut. And Viola's dreams of playing soccer in college are in jeopardy.
Here's a question. this idea of like going to college primarily to play sports seems like a real plot device in a lot of movies and TV. And it doesn't really seem that way in Canada. Like, maybe it's just a US thing. I would love to hear from some Americans if it's really like that important, like so important that the sport always comes first over the education or the actual programs of the school. Like, it's always about like, I want to go to this place because of soccer or this place because of football. But it's never like, I want to go to this school because they have a good like veterinarian program.
So it's funny you should ask this because I actually have the answer, or at least a partial answer for you, which I just learned like last week.
Wow.
So in the US, kids can get scholarships based on sports.
Okay.
And in Canada, we don't do that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is. I guess maybe, well, I guess like college sports, they must bring in money.
Right. To the university.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure they do. It's like Friday Night Lights, like big.
Right. Or like, isn't March Madness all about college basketball?
College basketball. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds okay. Right. Okay. I'm glad we talked this through.
Mm-hmm. We'd love to know if there's anything else going on in the US that, I mean, I think maybe we just value like education and intellect a little more so than sport.
Yep. Yep, probably. Write in, Americans. Let us know.
Yeah. The girls' team gets cut, and so the girls insist on trying out for the boys' team, and they're met with some real bullshit. Because the patriarchy tells her and her teammates that she can't play soccer with the boys. And Viola has a pretty shitty boyfriend who's like objectively good looking, but he's an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And basically tells her like, no, you can't play with the boys, even though he thinks she's a good soccer player.
Yeah, moments before he was praising her skills, and then he's like, no, you are not trying out for the boys team, end of discussion. And Viola claps back with, end of relationship. I miss Amanda Bynes so much.
I know, she's so good.
So Viola's mom is very waspy, if you know what I mean by that, like very very Charlotte from Sex and the City. Very mm-hmm. frilly and very into debutante culture, which is another, I think, predominantly American thing that I also do not understand.
Yes, same. And I have no answers for you this time.
No, okay. And that one will have to wait and write in. Write us a Gmail. Write us an Instagram.
What is a debutante?
We learn that Viola's twin brother Sebastian goes to the rival soccer school and wants to go on tour with his band in London. There's so many amazing lines in this movie, and it should be quoted more. Viola's confronting the girlfriend, and she's like, does he have your number? 1-800-BIATCH?
Oh my God.
There's so many.
And when Amanda Bynes does it, it's just so
she funny. Like snickers to herself after, which I like relate to. I always laugh at my own jokes. Yeah, I love it. So Viola gets the crazy idea to go undercover as her brother so that she can, one, play soccer, two, cover for her brother while he's in London, and three, stick it to her ex-boyfriend and his lousy team and lousy coach.
It's a great idea, Viola. So she meets up with her two girlfriends and her guy friend, who's a hair stylist and makeup artist, and she gets this manly makeover. Cue the montage.
Montage! Lots of fake mustaches. So funny.
So after a little bit of this and a little bit of that, she is ready to start her new school, Illyria, as her brother Sebastian. Okay, so we'll just do like a quick rundown of Viola. We'll call Sebastian Girly Sebastian when he's being played by Viola, and we'll call him Real Sebastian.
Okay.
When he's being played by, when he's...
him, his real self.
Yeah, but right now he's in London, and Viola is dressed as Sebastian, and she meets her roommate, the hilarious Channing Tatum, who is Duke Orsino, and he's like a star soccer player. And this is when we get like the best scene in one of the best scenes ever. So she's like just arriving, and Duke sees a box of tampons in her boots, and she's like, or he asks her about them, and
he's like, oh my god, tampons,
what are you doing with tampons? So this is her very first like, oh shit, I gotta cover for myself here because they're gonna find out I'm a chick. And she's like, yeah, you put them up your nose.
David Beckham does it all the time. And just like her trying to talk to the boys and like try, it's so funny. Like her being like, so do you play the beautiful game?
Brethren. So
many everything she quotes. Says is so funny.
So Duke and his bros suspect something is a little off with this new guy Sebastian, and at the very least they think he's a little bit femme. And so to prove himself as a bro, or herself, Viola's two friends meet her in this like pizza shop where they all are, and Duke's there with his guys, and the Viola's girlfriends like pose as girls who were in love with Sebastian, and he's like,
blows them off,
you know, I'm over you, blows them off, exactly, like there's too many fish in the sea.
Yeah.
And then Monique, who is the hot but shitty girlfriend of the real Sebastian, shows up, and here girly Sebastian like gets a chance to actually dump her ass in front of the whole restaurant. And so of course Duke and his friends see this, and they're like, oh okay, so Sebastian's got game. And they start to like approve of girly Sebastian and take him in as one of their own,
and they kind of do a quid pro quo. Duke has a crush on Olivia, and Olivia's Sebastian's lab partner. So Duke will teach Sebastian how to be better at soccer so he can make the team, if Sebastian will talk up Duke to Olivia.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So they really bond this way. And I think Sebastian's like somehow giving Duke tips on how to talk to girls.
As a girl. And Sebastian and Olivia kind of get along because Sebastian is a woman, and so just doesn't have like the
he doesn't look at her like a piece of meat.
Yeah exactly.
So here's where things start to get a little bit complicated, and we get into our love triangle, circle, square. Viola, underneath her guise of Sebastian, starts to develop a little crush on her roommate Duke. But Duke is still pining after Olivia until he ends up meeting real Viola at some debutante carnival and makes out with her at the kissing booth.
Which is such a, like, this is such a, like, classic double life trope kind of scene. Like, there's a carnival and all of the characters just have to be there in one, like, for one reason or another. And so she... like Viola has to do the change into Sebastian, change back to Viola, and like it's a very like hijinks shenanigans type of like scene.
Yeah,
and also so with funny. The kissing booth, which is awkward.
The kissing booth, and there's one scene where she changes back from Viola to Sebastian in the tilt-a-whirl. And at first it looks like she's in the tilt-a-whirl by herself. Like getting dressed, and at the end it stops, she can't find her mustache and looks to her left, and there's this like little girl,
her sideburn,
and she looks at her and goes, stay in school, kid. You guys, we're just gonna like keep trying to relive these scenes over and over again, and it won't be near as good as if you just watch it, but that's why you're here. So Olivia starts to have a crush on Sebastian. Duke now likes Viola after kissing her at the carnival and is starting to forget about Olivia. But then Olivia gets some wayward advice to make Sebastian jealous by flirting with Duke. So they're at the gym together, all of them, and Olivia goes over and starts flirting with Duke. And Duke's penis just immediately forgets about his crush on Viola.
That's who's really running the show here.
Let's be honest.
It's not his brain.
None, though. So he agrees to go on a date with Olivia. And Sebastian / Viola is like bummed because Duke was just about to ask Viola out on a date. So things come to a head at a debutante lunch where Monique, who is real Sebastian's ex-girlfriend, overhears Olivia and Viola in the bathroom talking about how Olivia should go after Sebastian if she's into him. And of course, Monique is outraged. She like comes out of the bathroom stall where she was hiding and
they throw hands.
Yeah.
It is a full brawl.
Yeah, that wasn't the only fighting scene. There's like
a few fist fights.
Okay, so Olivia just goes for it and finds Sebastian to tell him how she really feels, except real Sebastian is back in town now. He's just getting here from his London trip. It's dark. She finds him on like the side of the road and they kiss and Sebastian's like, "Whoa, I just got here. Who is this girl? Where am I? I think I'm gonna like this school." Duke sees this and he is pissed that Sebastian is kissing Olivia, who he was finally dating, sort of. All right, so the movie ends or is beginning to end and wrap up with the penultimate event. It's the Cornwall versus Illyria soccer game. And this is so funny to me. Real Sebastian like just gets there and is roped into playing this like big soccer game, and he's clearly not a very good soccer player.
He like comes on the field so clueless, like he doesn't even know what day it is.
No.
Just like happened to like step on the soccer field, happened to put on his uniform.
Like, what a guy, just going with the flow. Like, no question as to why he's on the soccer team. I mean, it's pretty good. He can't play soccer, but he's playing. And meanwhile, Monique, who's still pissed, runs into some tattletale student, Malcolm. And the two of them start to get wise to the fact that Sebastian is actually Viola. Okay, and I can't believe we haven't talked about Principal Gold.
Oh my yet. God. He's one of my favorite characters in the whole movie. He, like, when Sebastian shows up, he brings him into the office and, like, is like, "I'm gonna take a special interest in you." And he's played by David Cross, who is one of the funniest people ever. If anyone watches the show Arrested Development, you know that David Cross is just like a comedic genius. I love anyone that has like this like flamboyancy about him. And so the whole time he's kind of like, he's always like in the background when Sebastian's around. And is just kind of always like, "Yeah, it's okay. Like, you're a new student. Like, I want you to feel good." So, yeah, when he, like, decides to break the whole soccer game up to bust Viola.
Yeah, this is very off.
With the other student, Malcolm, who, like, also throughout the whole movie is being a giant creep and, like, literally has candid photos of Olivia, like he's obsessed with her.
Right. Yes, that's his role. I kind of forgot. Yeah, so Monique and Malcolm go to Principal Gold, and Principal Gold is decidedly not having Sebastian's back right now.
The trust has been broken there.
Takes a megaphone and makes sure that Sebastian and Viola's parents are there.
Yeah.
They don't know, like, they have no idea what's going on. So he makes an announcement that is literally just, "Sebastian Hastings is a girl."
You can't say that. This movie in 2021 would be like, "Okay, Rad, like, what are your pronouns? Do you mind me asking? Like, what are your pronouns?" And I was like, "Okay, cool.
Moving on." Yeah,
well, I mean, that's what we hope, but sadly.
Yeah, we hope so.
Yeah.
But instead, Sebastian's like, I'm a boy. I'm a boy. And ends up like flashing the whole stadium his crown jewels to prove it. Yeah, this guy's really just up for anything.
Yeah.
So Viola eventually has to come out and admit to the whole school that she's been impersonating her brother for the last 2 weeks.
After a very heartfelt speech involving also her old coach being like, she can't play, she's a girl. And then her new coach, who's like a very scary, tough British man, going, we do not discriminate against gender here. lets her play, and her team go on to win the game. And of course, Viola has to play the game with her newly unleashed locks just flowing in the breeze. Not even a potential thought to put her hair back in a ponytail.
Oh but, my god, I know.
Okay, okay, sure. Go on.
I thought the same thing. So dumb. And so it's a really feel-good scene when she's able to kick ass on the soccer field.
Yeah, she gets to stick it to the ex-boyfriend.
And then at the end of the game, she gets to introduce Olivia to real Sebastian. And remember, they already actually kissed, so there's a little bit of spark there. And then she goes and tries to make up with Duke, who clearly is a bit pissed at her because she was pretending to be a boy. He's just weirded out by the whole thing, I think. And then we have this random scene where Eunice and Toby kiss. And these two characters, like, I realize that we haven't even touched on them.
Eunice is like the archetype of like a nerd, like big braces and like headgear and like very intense. And then Toby's like a jock who's like very cool.
Yeah, super handsome. Anyway, I just got to get a clip of the kiss. I don't even know how to describe it, so I won't. But we'll put it on the Instagram if I can find it.
Yeah, words cannot describe this kiss.
Mm-mm. A lot of braces.
Yeah.
A lot of hovering.
Yeah. A little uncertainty. A little excitement.
So, okay. Then what happens?
So Viola reaches out to Duke to invite him to the debutante ball. And she wins him over with a wheel of Gouda cheese, which is also something we haven't touched on, but...
my favorite's Gouda.
So Duke is still pretty mad at Viola, but just when she thinks that it's over, he shows up at the debutante ball, which is just all kinds of weird. I'm sorry, I just don't understand. The girls all, like, wear white dresses and, like, need to have... what do they call them? Do they call them escorts? Like, escorted by? They, like, call their, like, dates something weird.
Yeah.
And, like, the girls, like, have to attend, like, etiquette class, and it's very bizarre. But sure. And also, for unknown reasons, again, the whole cast is there just because. just because they got to get all the cast there. Like, including Eunice is there.
Was she a debutante?
I don't know. She's not in a white dress, so I don't know. But we do get a happy ending for Olivia and Sebastian and for Duke and Viola. Aww. Which is all we care about here is the happy ending.
Yeah, there's some good teenager love happening at the end.
All right, a lot to unpack. Like, there's just some scenes that we just have to talk about.
Yeah, there's so many that stick out. The tampon scene.
So good.
So hilarious. My favorite's Gouda. So you can watch and find out, but also I'll just describe it quickly. So Channing Tatum, or Duke, basically doesn't know how to talk to girls. And girly Sebastian's teaching him. And she's like, just ask them about anything. Ask them about cheese. What's your favorite type of cheese? So that's where that line comes from.
We talked about her meeting the headmaster for the first time.
Oh yeah, Principal Gold.
And about how he's always just like hanging around. And he sees her like tugging on her wig, which I can imagine would be like horrible to wear a wig all the time. And he's like, I know what's going on with you. She's like, no, no, you don't. That's fine. It's nothing. And he goes, male pattern baldness is nothing to be ashamed of. Meanwhile, he's like the headmaster. And I think he's like washing the windows behind her. Like, he's always just like doing chores nearby. It's so funny.
Oh my god. He is like the, well, next to Amanda Bynes.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the funniest characters.
Yeah. They play off each other very well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my god, so many good quotes in this movie too. Like, I can't even. There's no context. There's no context. I have like five of these quotes written down.
One of my favorite parts too is the scene where her friends come to like pretend that they're in love with Sebastian, Viola Sebastian.
Yeah.
Sebastian like comes out of the bathroom and like holds both hands up and to these kids and goes, high five. And they just completely ignore him. And he goes, nice. Like, Amanda Bynes is just so everything. She could just say like all of the funniest lines are just like complete throwaway lines, and it's just I love it. I love it. I love it so much. Like, everything she says is funny, and I will talk much more about her because I just love her.
Okay, well, let's talk about a few categories. The music, I actually went to Spotify and downloaded the soundtrack because there's just so many good like dancey tunes.
I noticed a few All-American Reject songs.
Yeah.
Which are always good. I noticed a lot of really amazing band posters in, like, the boys' rooms, like in Duke and Sebastian's room and then in just Sebastian's room. Particularly, I noticed a Sum 41 poster.
Oh, hell yeah.
Right above Duke's bed or whatever. So that was pretty funny.
Shout out to those Canadian boys.
Yeah, yeah. The fashion.
Yeah, well, we have in some pretty
typical 2006 movie. 2006?
2006, yeah. Well, you have some pretty good school uniforms and some other, like, decent early 2000s looks. And Amanda is rocking the straight hair middle part, which has actually come full circle.
That is my current hairstyle. I would be blessed to have Amanda Bynes' hair at all times. Yeah, agreed. There's some good looks in this. Like, the girls really said, let's keep the pants low rise and just belt everything. It was just a simpler time. But definitely get some good looks. Also some good boy looks. Like, I've always really loved the look of, like, a short sleeve tee over a long sleeve tee.
Aw, yeah.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that.
That's how she kept her boobies covered.
Yes, exactly. T-shirt. Hid her womanly form.
Yes.
Let's talk about characters. Because this movie had some really, like, some of the most, like, interesting and dynamic characters, but then also some of the, like, ooh, like, most, like, hysterical one-dimensional characters. Viola as herself and as Sebastian are both so, like, funny and charming in their own way. Like, Sebastian, obviously, like, awkward because she's got a secret, but still just so funny and weird, which I always love. And then, like, even Duke, he has a lot of flaws. And there's definitely some, like, I don't know. He definitely has some issues with, like, men, and he had some weird reactions to some things that Sebastian would say, but like deep down he seems like he's trying to be a good guy.
Yeah,
but then as far as like the kind of like one-dimensional characters, which are still like hilarious, like Viola's ex-boyfriend who literally throws a tantrum at the end when they lose, like a kid in a candy store being denied candy kind of tantrum. And then Sebastian's ex-girlfriend, who was, like, also in a constant state of hissy fit.
Yes.
Like, I don't even understand why she wants to date Sebastian. Like, she seems to hate him so much. And she just, like, so keeps, like, going after him because she's just, like, mad. So.
Yeah, she's got some issues.
Yeah, for sure.
You know who else is what really one-dimensional but hysterical is Eunice.
Yeah. You need like some different flavors in, and she definitely like did that. I found Olivia to be kind of annoying.
Oh yeah.
She's pretty manipulative. Only pretending to be interested in Duke to make Sebastian jealous is manipulative. Mm-hmm. And then even when they're playing soccer, she like at one point like runs down to interrupt this like massively important soccer game. I don't know. I just found her kind of
annoying.
Grabbing Sebastian as like what she thought was Sebastian, but was actually the real Sebastian. Grabbing him, kissing him as soon as he gets out of the car, and then like running off. It's just kind of, I didn't like her, but I understood.
Yeah, it's almost as if she gets like all this confidence after her friend tells her to just make Duke jealous.
Yeah.
Or make Sebastian jealous by using Duke.
Yeah. We don't like when people use people.
Yeah.
And I've said it before, but like obviously the other like amazing character is the headmaster. I love like a good like eccentric little, the whole time he like acts and speaks like he's like a little like woodland elf. Like he like sits on the chair all weird and he's just always kind of like, I don't know, like floating
welcome
around.
Illyria. Welcome, 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 welcome to Illyria.
He's just so good.
Yeah.
Oh, Gamer Crafts is so funny. But of course, the most amazing character is Viola. Amanda Bynes just a gem. Like every other line is just so funny. Like Amanda Bynes' delivery is so good. She's just one of those people who was just, she's just truly a comedian, and is that's her calling, which makes me so sad to think about the years following this movie. She was hit very hard with addiction and mental illness. It really chewed her up and spit her out. But the thing with her breakdown was that it was so much less public than like Britney's or like Lindsay Lohan's. A lot of it was just confined to like super weird tweets that she would send out. She might have gotten arrested at some point, but I don't know. It doesn't seem to be like as public as the other girls. So
yeah,
I hope that like someday we can see her returning to acting and comedy, but I'm not sure that day will come.
Yeah, I don't know. At last I saw she was also under a conservatorship.
Oh.
Which I guess is like just a thing that happens in the US when people with lots of money can't take care of themselves or like.
All right, guys, we got a free Britney and then mission two.
Give Amanda a hug.
Free Amanda, maybe. I don't know. Help Amanda.
Yeah. Oh, but she is. She's like so special.
Yeah.
She's hilarious. And what she did like with the Amanda Show when she was so young.
Oh my God. Oh, the Amanda Show was like so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lived for it. This movie would have been nothing
right
without her.
I weirdly caught, I don't know how I caught this movie. I'm trying to think. Be like, what's that other movie she's in? What a Girl Wants? Where her dad is like I don't know, some duke or something. I don't know how or why I watched it not too long ago. I feel like it was on TV, but like when was I watching a movie on TV? I don't know, but I watched it and I was like, God, this is good. Like, God, Amanda Bynes is so good. And that's like one of her more not serious roles, but like there's definitely like less comedy in it than this, but
yeah, it's a bit more of romantic,
but really fully only watched it for her because I'm Amanda's number one fan, please. You know that? Well, I think her name was Courtney or something.
Amanda's number one Amanda's fan, please.
Number one Courtney fan, please. I don't know where that came from. I don't know who said that. Who said that? That just like came unwillingly out of my body. Oh dear.
Oh my god.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up with our overall thoughts. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, this has always been like a joke that you were like obsessed with this movie, but like it's just so good. And I think I only saw it once when it first came out, so this was like definitely a fresh rewatch for me. And I honestly laughed out loud several times. Like out loud, which usually when you like type out LOL, you're not actually laughing out loud, but it was out loud. And I kind of annoyingly consider myself a bit of a comedy snob. I like to think I have like high expectations on what is actually truly funny, and not just like, oh, that's cute, that's funny, but like parts of this are real funny. This was a great pick, Maria. Brava, brava. I feel like my only like complaint is obviously there's just some like weirdness with like some stereotypes that are not exactly like cool, but like the movie kind of frames it in a way where they're also like criticizing stereotypes, so it definitely didn't like stand out too much. Like it definitely aged fairly well, like all things considering. I like to think.
Yeah, I think that's really well put.
All things considered, I'm going to give this movie 9 nose tampons out of 10.
Well deserved. Okay, so my overall thoughts. This movie is like laugh out loud funny. And I've seen it so many times, but I haven't seen it probably in like 10 years.
Not 10 days?
But what's fun?
Not 10 weeks?
Not 10 days.
Okay.
No, but what's funny is Kathleen texted me and was like, LOL, I just watched this movie like a few weeks ago. And I'm sure her and I watched it together like many times in my dad's basement. / I made her watch it. So it wasn't a fresh rewatch in the sense that like I've seen it so many times the lines would like come to the tip of my tongue before they were actually said. Like, you know, when you listen to an album so much, you know what the next song's gonna be just from the ending of one. It's that embedded. So many good jokes. Like, I quote this movie all the time.
I'm going to start quoting it a lot more.
I hope so. So I'm going to rate this one giant wheel of Gouda out of one.
One giant Gouda wheel.
So that's 100%.
Amazing.
And I have to give you all the credit for bringing this movie up to our list because you really encouraged it. You wanted to give me a little treaty for my, for my birthday, and
when this episode airs, it'll be a few days away from your birthday. And then next weekend we're having a little girls party to celebrate your big 3-0. Very excited for that. This is a very exciting year that most of our friends are turning 30, so at least we're...
Maybe I'll dye my hair.
Oh, yeah, there's a... I had some sort of nervous breakdown this week and picked up a box of bleach and attempted to dye my hair in this way that I thought that I could totally pull off, and it did not turn out well at all, and I was meeting some friends at a restaurant, and when I turned the corner and they saw that I was wearing a baseball hat, they all died laughing. Like, because all they had heard was like, I'm dyeing my hair, yeah! Like, woo! And then they turned the corner in a baseball hat, and they're like, oh my god. Tail between my legs, I went to Shoppers Drug Mart again, and I mean, it's the confidence of always being able to just dye your hair dark brown again that I shouldn't have. Because if I screw anything up, I can just dye it dark brown again. And it's always going to cover.
That's right.
It's too much power to have, honestly. But I fixed it. I still have like some bleached parts that I'm gonna hold on to. Maybe dye them a fun color, like maybe blue. But
oh yeah, I like your little blonde bangs there.
But I don't know what happened to me this week. I just a full chaotic episode.
Listen, I think it must be a full moon.
Oh, I bet.
Because I was also a little kooky. No. Oh. Is Mars in retrograde? Oh, maybe. JK, I don't know what that means, but
I don't know.
So on that note,
I did post about this on our Instagram, but I will say it again. We're going to be switching to bi-weekly episodes just until like October, we feel. Our summers are just so short and they've just gone by so fast, and we just have a lot of stuff planned for the next month and a half. So, but then come October, we're going to do some fun stuff in October. I'm going to make Maria watch so many scary movies, all the scariest movies, and she's going to be traumatized.
Oh my gosh. It just feels like homework.
No, we'll do some like fun.
There better be snacks involved. Oh, of course,
We'll do like the fun Halloween movies. Like the fun spooky ones, not like the slashy, gory, torture porn type movies. I wouldn't do that to you.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that to you.
That's good. I love you.
I love you.
Okay, lovers. Well, hope you tune in 2 weeks from now. Don't forget about us because we're not going far. We're just taking a little wee summer slowdown.
I'll keep the Instagram going with lots of memes. So you can follow us there at Unsolicited Flick Picks Podcast.
Make sure to follow us also on Spotify. Come and listen and give us a follow. Then we'll show up in your home screen. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.